afternoon and welcome to another episode of And Then There's That, a bi-weekly podcast of people, politics, and punditry in Howard County on the HOCO Mojo Network. I'm Paul Scalney, and I'm here at the Lakeside Cafe in Columbia Town Center with my co-host, Dennis Lane. Joining us today as our guest is Howard County's finest food blogger and critic, Hal Chow. Real name to be disclosed, or not, in short order. But as always, we first like to take a look at some of the news making the headlines this week. Dennis, what's on your plate?
Sad day yesterday in Howard County. Gary Arthur, long time, I think 30-some year director of Howard County Parks and Recs, passed away. And we were fortunate to actually have Gary on our show back in January. And judging from some of the comments that I've heard people make, he was a great guy. You know, I know we enjoyed having him on. He's sorely missed.
And remind me, who was his childhood hero?
Hopalong Cassidy.
So he's in a good place now with his childhood.
He's in a good place with his childhood friend. So. And not to be, while we're on the subject of people who pass away, of course, funeral homes are still in the news in Howard County.
Why is that?
I'm scratching my head over this one, Paul, because, again, it's a funeral home that wants to locate between two churches.
And what could possibly be wrong with that?
One of the commenters on the Explore Howard blog said, well, there's going to be more than a funeral home. It's going to have a 150-seat chapel and a hearse museum.
Yeah, I don't know about you and your kids, but you know, when I like to take my kids to a museum, I don't quite think of taking them to Clarksville to see all the different kind of hearse.
Hop in the
50s
cars.
To the 60s. It's just not my thing.
Where are we going, Dad? We're going to the hearse museum, son.
Wow, check out the wheels on that one.
You know, and what's interesting, the Catholic Church has the problem with it. The Lutherans seem to be okay. I don't know what that says about religions, but just had to throw that in.
We're going to leave that to our religion aficionados.
Yeah. Well,
Dennis, what, you know, I'm a guy, you're a guy. You know what? I like women. I think a lot of women are beautiful.
Love girls.
You know what? We love girls. But what is wrong with teachers in this county, and why can't they just stick to being teachers?
You know,
so we got the story of this Athelton High School junior ROTC instructor charged with having sex with a student. You know, they just don't learn. I don't understand why this is such a problem.
You know, the guy's got to know. He's going to be around young women. You know, keep it to yourself. I mean, you know, they're not 18. They're kids.
To my producer Dave, I was thinking we might need to cut a portion of that, but I think Dennis recovered. I think we're going to be all right.
You know, what is this guy thinking? Now, of course, his career is shot. His life is shot. He will now be a, I guess that makes him a predator, right? Or
yeah, his name, and we'll go on that website.
I don't get it, but you know, once again, it does make the news around here. We in Howard County, we seem to have a run on them every year. There seems one of them is in the news.
So speaking of run-ons, you know, my theme for the week.
We have a theme. I like that.
Well, it's become a theme for the show, and it's really problematic for me. But dogs and referendums.
Why
can't we just keep dogs out of the news?
Well, you know, and of course, you're referring to the fact that the judge dismissed the $5 million lawsuit against the SWAT team, the Howard County SWAT team that burst into the house and killed, what was his name again? Grunt.
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 Yeah,
Grunt.
He was a Rottweiler lab mix. You know, for our listeners, this is the story from, I guess, a couple years back or maybe last year, where the SWAT team entered the family's unlocked door without announcing themselves. They had a tip that there was some drug paraphernalia being sold
Drugs being sold.
Yeah,
they busted down the door and...
And they did find marijuana and paraphernalia. It turned out that the actual owners of the home, I think, the charges were dismissed against
them.
Yes,
they were.
But nonetheless, the judge did conclude that there was probable cause and that there was evidence sufficient for the police to come in and do what they did. And this Rottweiler Labrador named Grunt apparently was a threat to the Howard County police, and they shot him.
They shot him. Now, of course, I'm a dog owner, so I've got a problem with, you know, we seem to shoot a lot of dogs in this county. I don't know.
We do. In fact, I think this was the third time in 18 months that lawsuit was filed by Howard County citizens against the police department and the county for shooting dogs.
And, you know, and you say lawsuit. This was a federal lawsuit. You know, the federal court docket is getting filled with cases from Howard County because the people that have been trying to fight the fact that Turf Valley referendum was tossed out are also back in the federal court, or they have been in federal court. The people trying to stop Wegmans have been in federal court. you know, this just goes on and on. And referendums, of course, once more in the news, because I love this. The Turf Valley Group went and after they got – after federal courts threw it out, said, you know, dismissed, whatever, move on. They said it was really a state issue. Mark Norman and his Citizens for Open Government went to the Circuit Court of Howard County. And Judge McCrone studied this for
– ever?
Ever. And I'm thinking it's close to 6 months. I think he heard the case in November, and he ruled on it last month. So you got to figure that the Judge McCrone looked into this pretty well. But now we hear in the news this week, what are they doing?
They've filed a notice of appeal. They're appealing Judge McCrone's ruling to the Court of Special Appeals, which is Maryland's intermediate court.
Now, this is the same group has appealed when the first federal judge threw it out. They appealed that ruling. That got overturned or denied.
You know, my computer at my office, on my desktop, I've got those documents I most commonly use.
Uh-huh.
I think they've got a notice of appeal stuck right on their desktop, right there. Just click.
Let's do it again. And you know what gets me, though, is this whole Turf Valley issue. The whole thing came up over a grocery store, over the fact that the county council approved a 55,000 square foot grocery store, as opposed to the 18,000 square foot grocery store. These are not heady issues of the day.
You know, and I venture to guess that I think the people that are part of these groups, and we've had all kinds of names for them in the past, but parts of these groups, I think they've probably forgotten along the way what they're even fighting for and why they're fighting it. I imagine they don't even know.
Injustice, you know? Wait.
Well, speaking of injustice, County Council Chairperson Courtney Watson did introduce legislation, or I think maybe will early next week.
No, she did. She last night.
Okay, she didn't introduce
uh-huh.
it. Introduced legislation, which is going to reconcile some of the differences between the county's law on referendum
and the state law.
And the state law. And
yep.
There were some conflicts, and to her credit, she's looking to get that cleaned up. So hopefully that'll...
Well, that just opens up. That'll open up the whole ball of wax about whether, you know, the signature thing should be raised or, you know, how. And a lot of this goes into state law. So, a lot of it can't be dealt with at the county level. And these people who say the county council is trying to deny the citizens the right to referendum, it has very little to do that. It's state law. So
not much there to work with.
Well, we certainly worked with it pretty well. And before we get to our guest, we have a little bit of housekeeping. This will be our last show at the Lakeside Cafe. We're moving on. We have to find a new place to do the show, and we really don't have a place yet. We're talking to some people, but for now we're kind of homeless. And that kind of works because the next show will be happening about the same time as Lakefest, which is the opening of this year's Columbia Festival of the Arts. And they're also our sponsor, Columbia Festival of the Arts, a sponsor of our program here. And so Paul and I wanted to share with you a little bit of the things that are going to be going on at Lake Fest next week. Paul?
And of course, on Saturday, June the 12th at 1 p.m. is going to be the boat float, which is always a huge crowd pleaser. Of course, last year, none of the boats sank. And for those that don't know, the boat float is a great program sponsored by the local Rotaries here in Howard County. And it's an opportunity for the engineers to design and actually float their boats made out of cardboard, and then they race them, and they see how far they can get before they sink. And last year, none of them sank. And
nothing's,
the crowd was very disappointed.
Nothing's more fun than seeing somebody end up in the muck of Lake Kinemakundi, you know?
Well, without naming specific people, there are particular people that we particularly enjoy seeing sinking in the...
But, you know, before the boat float that day, and this one I like, it's also at 11 o'clock on Saturday, it will be the 7th Annual Kinetic Art Parade. And, you know, this is the only parade, really, in Columbia Town Center anymore. I mean, back in the days, there used to be a 4th of July parade. But now the Columbia Festival of the Arts, Lake Fest, has the only parade left. And they get some pretty wacky things for the Kinetic Art Parade. You know, Kinetic Art means it has to be art that is human-powered, I believe. I think that's the...
It's disappointing that in GGP's Town Center proposed redevelopment plan, they didn't mandate, you know, Memorial Day and 4th of July parades. You know, that could have really added to some of the zest of the redevelopment.
It needed to be enforceable.
Well, there's the problem right there.
But then, later on, and that kicks off the Lake Stage, which I always said... The Columbia Festival of the Arts Lake Fest puts the finest stage up for in Town Center. I mean, it's not just a platform out there. They've got the lights. They've got the curtains. I mean, it's really quite a setting. And they're going to have a lot of entertainment that will go for 2 days, I think Saturday and Sunday. And that kicks off, I guess, starts right after the parade on Saturday. So if you've got no other plans or you should make plans, the weekend of June 11th, actually the festival starts on the 12th. But like I said, we'll be broadcasting from the setup that afternoon.
That Friday afternoon. So come out and see us. And thanks again to Columbia Festival of the Arts for being our sponsor.
Yeah, let's move on to our guest. We're fortunate today. And, you know, one of the other things besides dogs that people like to talk about in Howard County is food.
Well, I don't know if they like to talk about it or not, but they sure like to go out and get some.
Yeah, they sure like to go out and get some. So our guest today, we've invited Howard County's preeminent food blogger, Brent.
Can we Mitchell.
Say?
Brent Mitchell.
Brent Mitchell.
And he goes by Hao Chow.
Hao Chow. Welcome.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You started this blog how long ago?
I started doing it about 2 years ago, and I would say it probably took 6 months before it was actually up and something that people were actually reading.
And now I would venture to say it's probably the most popular blog in Howard County.
Oh, I have no idea about that.
Come on, work it.
Yes.
Well, now you look at
recent statistics, show.
I would say it is the. I mean, if there had been someone else doing this, I would just be commenting on their blog. So I think I'll say that I probably am writing more about food in Howard County than anyone else. But
now, how did you get into this? Do you have a food background?
I have
degree
no food
in culinary background. Something or other. No.
No, I have nothing at all. I came up to Howard County because my wife was living here, and when we met and started dating, I started coming up here and moved up from Virginia when we got engaged. And basically, I was just looking to replace what I had had where I used to live.
Where am I getting my next meal from?
Exactly. Finding restaurants and a lot of both restaurants and places to shop for food. And when I looked on the web, there weren't places. It was very easy to find somebody who wrote, you know, big lists of where you should eat in the city or in Washington. But I couldn't find them, and I just started doing it myself. And
now you say you couldn't find them. I mean, you actually didn't know Howard County at all. So, I mean, you just kind of started exploring neighborhoods?
My wife is a physician and spends several months a year where she has to work 7 days a week.
Uh-huh.
And so I would find something or a mention of some kind of market somewhere on the internet. And on a Saturday morning when she went to the hospital to work, I would get on the road and go see what today's catch seafood market was, or to go find the Korean grocery store, or things like that.
Cornflakes, the third night in a row, started to get old, right?
It got very, very old.
Cornflakes for dinner again.
You know, one of the constant criticisms you hear at Howard County is, I can't figure out how to get around because it's very confusing. Yeah.
I think it's entirely true. And it's actually been, I think, one of the fun things with the blog is that it does let people do what I didn't have, which is to have somewhere where they could just go and look around and say, oh, if I wanted a Korean restaurant, what's the address? And, you know, what is it? Or things, getting that kind of information.
Now, you just came up from Northern Virginia. Northern Virginia's got a great reputation for being a highly developed area. Here you came into Howard County, which has gotten a lot of press lately for being a little bit of a sleepy town. What is your overall impression of food and restaurants that you can get in Northern Virginia as compared to the Howard County area?
I mean, I think there's good food here, and, you know, clearly I'm part of the home team now, so, but I mean, I do think there is stuff. There's less variety. I mean, I went down and saw my parents a few weeks ago, and we walked into a, you know, Vietnamese restaurant that would be, you know, the best Vietnamese restaurant in Howard County, you know, by light years, and Lord knows is probably, you know, one of 15 in Northern Virginia. But I think the difference is just a matter of, you know, the amount of variety you can get. You can still get great stuff up here, and I think it's still a lot of fun to look for stuff around here. And I think we're getting more. I mean, even in the 2 years that I've been blogging, you get more.
You know, I should point out too the one thing I've noticed by reading your blog. It's not just restaurants you're going to do. I mean, you've talked about the very ethnic various ethnic groceries we have around here.
Yeah.
Any surprises with those that you've come across? Or
yeah, I actually think it's a lot of fun, and I think it's both something for people who, you know, want some kind of real specific ethnic, you know, cuisine or cook the recipe they have, but also I think they're just fun places to go and look around. I think if you look at places like Lily's Mexican Market in Colombia, or there are a whole bunch of Middle Eastern
or Latte Plaza. I mean, that's
Latte Plaza.
That's like a mall.
It is a mall, and both the Latte grocery store itself and down. You know, that's actually over at the H Mart in Catonsville. If you can drive a little farther to Catonsville, the H Mart is a mall too. And
okay.
Underneath, there's places to buy Korean and Asian, you know, woks and knives and all kinds of stuff, steamers.
So forgetting a particular cuisine or casual versus elegant, you know, if somebody asks you, hey, what are the top places to go to dinner or lunch in Howard County, what do you tell them?
The first thing I tell them is this is all personal. I mean, there are places that people write about on the blog that are just, they just love them. And I've gone a couple times and never found anything I liked.
Didn't feel the love.
I like sushi, and I happen to think that Sushi Sono is one of the finest sushi restaurants I've ever eaten at. But if you don't like sushi, it doesn't matter how good it is because you don't like it.
Exactly. So with the caveat that this is just my list, the places that I send people tend to be sort of the mid-range. In other words, you can get fine dining here at Tersegals, or you can get fine dining at Bistro Blanc, but it's expensive. And down at the bottom end, you know, I'll send people any day to tacos at the Shell station on US 1.
R&R Deli.
The R&R Deli. But I recognize that there are some people who won't. And so the mid-ground, I mean, I think are places like Victoria Gastropub, like the new Facci that's down on Johns Hopkins Road.
That place is so popular, I can't get in there.
I can't get in there either. We were so excited. That is one of the closest restaurants to my house. And when it opened, we were like, this is great. We're going to eat here all the time.
We'll be here all the time.
I haven't been in like 4 months.
I was there a couple weeks ago. It was like a 90-minute wait.
And my wife's
Don't do 90-minute waits.
But, I mean, those are great places. I like both Sushi Sono and Sushi King.
Sushi King, very good.
I think, you know, for sort of a takeout or more counter service.
You know, they're in the same family.
They are not in the same family.
Well, no, but I mean King, who runs Sushi Sono, started at Sushi King. So, I mean, family.
I'm with you. But if you write a blog that says that they're owned by the same people, you will be jumped. I assure you. I cannot prove this.
Didn't mean to put it that way, but there is a history there of shared background.
Yeah, and
really cool thing about a blog is, a podcast like this, we don't really have to have our facts down. It doesn't really matter.
Oh, yeah. And the cool thing about a blog is you can fix it.
That's right.
We can't do that.
Yeah, no.
But, I mean, in terms of, like, counter places, I think Bonfresco does great food.
Oh, yeah, but great sandwiches.
I think Maiwan Kebab does great food. Uh-huh. And then I think there are a bunch of really good Asian restaurants. I think that Shin Chan Garden up on Route 40 is as good as anything, around. It's one of the places that we go on, you know, when you're just exhausted and you think, I really want to do something nice. It's fun. The food's great. It's not that expensive. And I really encourage it to people who've never had Korean food, because I think it's very accessible, and they'll tell you what to do, and they'll let you through. But I think places like Asian Court for dim sum, or places a little farther away, like in Odenton for Grace Garden, you can get great, great Asian food that's going to hold up to anything.
You mentioned fine dining, and I think you mentioned Tersegals and Bistro Blanc. It seems to me that there isn't an influx of fine dining restaurants. Now, Bistro Blanc's been around for a couple of years, and I think another one recently opened up. Is that because there's a lack of demand for it? Or,
I mean,
where do you really go for a nice, nice fine dining dinner?
My personal view is I think it's sort of the variation of why the county is, one of the, quote-unquote richest in the country. It's the average. We're the richest on the average.
Right.
And I think that fine dining does better in the cities because there's a smaller group of much wealthier people are willing to spend, $80 a night
also,
for two people.
You draw from a bigger area, too.
You draw from a bigger area, and you draw from, the people who want to spend $80, $90. You know, I got a lot of friends who live in Howard County, make perfectly good money, but they've got two kids, under the age of 10,
Stop picking on me.
But they're not looking to go out on a Wednesday night for a $100 dinner. And then when they get a babysitter and they want to go, when they want to go out, Baltimore's just not that far away.
Right.
And, my friends are more than happy to say, let's go into Baltimore and get, if we're going to schedule this dinner, it's going to be a big night and we're going to spend money. They're very happy to go into Baltimore.
Well, and you add the babysitting charge to it of $10-$15 an hour, yeah. And all of a sudden fine dining has become really fine dining.
Oh, I think that's a huge part of it is that I think one of the great parts of the county is it has people who have cash, but I'm not sure that it's going to support a huge number of big places. But Azul 17 is doing it, and Bistro Blanc did it, and they're good, and they're definitely taking unusual real estate. Both of them, I mean, they're not the places you'd expect to find fine dining, and they seem to be doing successfully.
While we're on the topic of fine dining, what's one of the interesting things about the way your blog and what you write about is you go the extra effort to understand the restaurateurs' challenges, and along those lines, you did some time behind the. Behind the counter, if you will, at Portales in Ellicott City. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was fun. They invited me there, and I spent one night, and it turned out to probably be very good because it was a stunningly slow Good Friday in the middle of Passover,
which
was not a great day to sell meat and pasta.
Right.
So it was slow, and I got to spend a lot of time, and I really did enjoy it.
So you were in the kitchen with the chefs, or that's a small kitchen?
It's a very small place. I was basically wandered around with one of the managers, and then with one of the waitresses was nice enough sort of to let me walk behind her and introduce me to people.
So when you went with the waitress to her table, did she say, this is Hal Chow, and he's...
No, very much not. She introduced me and said, this is Brent, and he's... I forget. We didn't even say training. He's... I don't remember.
Following me around. He's stalking me.
He's fundamentally following me around.
It's my shadow. Now, have you had other opportunities to sort of get a behind-the-scenes view on restaurants in Howard County?
Long ago, I was a newspaper reporter, and I don't want to be a newspaper reporter now. So I don't, it's not the kind of thing where I go and try to, interview people and learn, I'm not going to spend a day with somebody. This is a hobby, and it's fun. But it's much more, what I do. And if I go eat somewhere and then I write about what happened to me, I don't then go back the way a restaurant reviewer would have to go and get the pedigree of the place and, all that kind of stuff.
Your approach is actually very nice. I mean, you've certainly stayed away from acerbic comments or lambasting something, even if it's bad.
Yeah, and I think that's just a choice on my part. There have been a couple times where I just thought something was ridiculous. And honestly, when I've looked back on it, it's mostly when I got charged a lot of money and it was really bad.
Yeah.
But in no small part, it's a hobby. Like, I'm not here, I'm not doing this to make fun of people, and I'm not doing this to... drive people away. And, and again, as I said, there are places that I've gone and eaten and I think, this isn't really great, but people love it. And so I'm not here to get into a fight with people about, whether or not the pizza place that they love is the best or not.
Yeah, you haven't been in this county long enough, but Dennis and I were talking earlier about the what I'm calling the curse of the Red Pearl location.
Exactly.
Red Pearl just opened up.
It does sound like a movie, doesn't it? The curse of the Red Pearl.
Didn't they just do that? Wasn't it Black Pearl? I believe they've taken it from
that. That's right.
Mr. Producer, can you do that in surround sound?
Curse of Black Pearl.
But that location, that right on the waterfront here in Columbia, there have been so many restaurants in there, and they've all tried and they've all had okay products, some of them better than others, but they've really just struggled. So I'm curious to see what the Red Pearl does. I actually had occasion to eat there yesterday, and a fairly good good lunch for the value.
We talk about locations too. That one always surprises me, is because you've got the very popular Sushi Sono anchored on one end and very popular Clyde's on the other. Why a restaurant in between them can't seem to catch fire, I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you have an idea why you can't sit outside there? It just seems to be like the cute. I actually have a photograph on my computer to wait for the day I need to put the post of
there was,
the best view that you can't sit at.
There was tables outside over one of when it was. I don't know if Jesse Wong had tables outside for a while, but people have. The building wasn't designed for it. I think in order to do that, you probably have to go through a major kind of rehab to make it.
Cuts into that walkway area.
Yeah, and we talk
the flood of people that walk up and down that lakefront.
Especially when you have something like the Lake Fest, which we're going to talk about a little bit. You have booths set up there, and it gets very congested, but. It's interesting. We talk about outside dining, and one of my new favorite, and I think it's going to be very popular in Columbia, is this outside dining area at the new Stanford Grill.
I can't wait to try it.
That's an awesome space. And when outside dining, and you've had fun with this on your blog, I'm going around the block a long way, parking lot view.
This is the I would say the thing I'm most proud of on the entire site is I believe that Howard County's, contribution to
our niche
is the ability to sit outside and see your car at the same time.
Like Green Turtle has a great park.
The Victoria Gastropub
has a
true. That was where I sitting
all four sides.
Yeah, sitting there was where I thought. And sitting there,
get highway too. There
you do get. It's very nice. The first time I posted it, somebody said that you can sit and then you can watch you can see one sort of and then see Expectation at the same time. The inspiration for that was sitting outside, and we were having a great time. I mean, we sat outside and we had a great time there, and
literally
at Victoria's, and literally my wife could push the little fob on her keychain, and we could unlock the car and lock the car from where we were sitting.
You're setting off the alarm and freaking out people that are walking down the parking lot.
And so that was what it was. But I believe, yes, I believe there's huge amounts of this. I believe you can get many cuisines. I was very aware that the Tutti Frutti frozen yogurt on 40, you can sit in little chairs and watch 40 and the parking lot and the Burger King drive through.
That's right up to Magma. What I call the busiest, worst Starbucks in Howard County is right up there on Route 40. It's, you know, it's, and it's parking lot. I mean, the tables are literally right in front of where cars are parked.
Yep.
So we're in the midst of this recession, and it can't decide if it wants to emerge and recover, if we're going to stay there and have a double-dip recession. It amazes me every weekend to try to get into a restaurant, there's a waiting list.
Yeah.
Is Howard County recession-proof to on the restaurant front?
Well, I there were a couple places. I feel like, and I can't remember what they were. I feel like there were a couple places that closed a little while ago, but there has really not been any huge retrenchment.
Well, Jordan's closed, you know.
Yeah,
Jordan's closed, but
Oz Chop House.
But as a percentage, I think it's a very small percentage.
And, I think those were exceptions. I think that
unless they're your restaurant.
Yeah,
but the proof really is you try to get a seat somewhere for dinner, and you end up waiting 30, 60, 90 minutes.
Yeah, I mean
every weekend.
The craziest example is that shopping center on Johns Hopkins Road, right at 29. Sometimes you can't park. And it's,
well, that parking lot's a nightmare anyway.
It is a nightmare, although what people have said on the blog, and I'm going to do next time, is the child care center around the corner has a huge empty lot, and you can just park there and walk over. And it was funny to me because I realized how suburban.
Inside dining tips you've heard here first.
Yes.
And all the cars are going to get towed, and they're going to send you the bill.
No, yeah, hope not.
I heard it on And Then There's That.
Well, I'm going to try it. So. But, I mean, it was made me laugh because I realized, like, I have sat there and waited and waited and waited, and I realized if we were in a city, if I was in the city, I would go two blocks away and walk 2 blocks, but I never thought about it. So. But that place with La Palapa and Japanese Steakhouse and the barbecue and Facci, people.
Facci's the one all the way at the end, right?
Facci's at the end.
That's a great place.
But that barbecue place, I feel like, is way busier than it used to be. I feel like they've done it. They have driven up the business there.
That's an excellent barbecue, too.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I think we got for you, unless you want to add anything about your blog or whatever. We thank you for joining us.
I'll tell people how to find it, though. It's
It's howchow.blogspot.com. But if you just type howchow into Google,
you'll find it.
He's
done a real good job in making sure that his blog comes up when you put in howchow into Google.
Yeah, and I think our producer will provide a link on the page for the show, and we'll get you on there. Really do. We appreciate you coming by. It was great to have you, and look forward to hearing more about food in Howard County through your blog.
Great. Happy to do it. Thanks.
Thanks again.
That about wraps up another episode of And Then There's That. On behalf of myself and my co-host, Paul Scalney, we'd like to once again thank Michael and Min So for allowing us to commandeer this corner of their lakeside cafe in Columbia Town Center this one last time, and our producer, Dave Bittner, for making us look good on radio. We'll be back again on June 11th with a special homeless edition of And Then There's That. We'll be out on the street with guest Josh Stolfitz, the program coordinator for the 2010 Columbia Festival of the Arts, as Lake Fest gets underway here in Town Center. We hope you'll join us.